Okay, so we're on a new heaven and a new earth, is session 9 of the Believe Course. So we know that the Word of God tells us that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where God and man will dwell together forever. In Revelation 21, 1 through 5, there'll be no more pain, death, crying, or sorrow. And this is described in more detail in Revelation 9 through 27 and 22, 1 through 22. Today we're going to talk about the second coming of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the new millennium, and the great white throne judgment. So in Jesus' second coming, Jesus will return to earth while putting his feet on the Mount of Olives. The army of heaven will be with him, and the angels and believers to destroy the forces with or arrayed against God and to deliver the Jewish people. Daniel 2:45, Revelation 19:11 through 26, and Zechariah 14:1 through 5 are the references that give you that biblical foundation. But we'll go ahead and we're going to read Jude chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. And of course, Jude is only one chapter, so it's Jude 14 and 15. Also, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." He'll come back in the same way that he left. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I think that's kind of a comical picture because they just watched a man physically disappear without an airplane or anything, and they're going, "Why are you looking into the heavens?" I don't know. That was just kind of a remarkable event there. Not sure if I, had a problem or not. Did you see that? First I want to ask, did you see that before I go on into why am I looking into heaven? And hear that, whoa, this event is going to come back in reverse, and he's coming back again. What will happen to the lost when Jesus comes again? 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 11. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power?" What will happen to you when Jesus comes again? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever." So this is the passage that is known as the rapture. And so the caught up together is the part that is where the rapture idea comes from. The word rapture is not actually in the Bible. It's this caught up together that's described through the word rapture. You'll have a glorified body. In Philippians 3:21, it says, "Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transfer our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." We spoke about that some last week too, that you'll get a new glorified body. 2 Peter 3 verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." Zephaniah 1, 14 through 18. Somebody want to look that up, and we're going to go ahead and read Matthew quickly. So I'm just going to trust that you're going to go back and read these and establish that foundation so you know where it says it. It's not just opinions being put into you, but you're actually reading in the scripture where these statements are coming from. Matthew 24, 4 through 6 says, in the second coming, Christ will be coming back to earth with the saints to rule and to reign. And we find that in Revelation 11, 16 and Zechariah 14, 3 and 4. Matthew 24 says, "For as a lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So in this time, the Jews will realize that Jesus was their Messiah. We find that in Zechariah 12, 10 through 14. So let's read in Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him. Then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. A note here is that it wasn't prepared for man. He never intended that to be. But it is the place where all evil is going to be deposited. Revelation 19:11 says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had the name written, No man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon a white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of his fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we understand this to be a picture of Christ in his second coming. Jesus will return to the earth, putting his feet on the Mount of Olives. The army of heaven will be with him, angels and believers, to destroy the forces which are arrayed against God and to deliver the Jewish people. Daniel 2:45, Revelation 19:11-26, Zechariah 14:1-5, and Matthew 24:26-30. This event will usher in the millennial reign. Satan will be bound at this time, Revelation 20:1-3. Any persons that will have taken the mark of the beast and worship the Antichrist will have been destroyed at this time, Revelation 19:21. So now we move on to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is coming back for his bride, one without spot, wrinkle, or any such blemish. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That passage right there is good to meditate on because that's what he's after. And if he's after that in his church, he's after that in us as individuals. So we should be presenting ourselves regularly to the Lord for that cleansing that comes through the Word. And the Word of God has to take first priority in your life. It has to be above everything else in your life because you can't be transformed into that spotless bride without blemish if you're not by default leaning to the Word of God more than your own counsels, more than your own desires. So this passage and all these events that we're looking at in the future, this is something to anchor into right here, that he is out to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There's a modern theology that really escapes holiness and throws it off to the side. And just like some people will want to fellowship in a Christless environment, they don't want to talk about Jesus. They don't want Jesus in the middle of it. They just want to go have fun. So they leave Christ out of the mix, right? If they can escape it, they will. Well, that person really is losing a big view and understanding of who Christ is and understanding what Christ is doing for them, right? So he's taking them from their sin-depraved reality and moving them into that spotless condition without having any kind of blemish. And so when you think about that, most of us are painfully aware of our blemishes. So we're very aware of our faults and our shortcomings, but Christ isn't looking at the shortcomings other than to remove them. So your hope is to invest that shortfall in him, and then he removes it from you. So I think 1 John 1:9, where it says that if you confess your shortcomings, spots, blemishes, any kind of condition that makes you feel less than, if you take your less than condition and present it to Christ, then he is faithful and just to forgive you, which is powerfully important. But he doesn't just leave you with it, oh yeah, I forgive you, and you still have it, to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that's what Christ is coming back for. And so when you think about that, that's a marriage supper that anybody would look forward to because you'll be in your perfected condition. So you might ask, who is the bride then? The answer is the church. That means if you're a Christian, then you are the promise that Jesus is looking forward to. You are a member of the Bride of Christ, and now He is now, through the work of the Holy Spirit, cleansing us and preparing us for this great event. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb.